The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. In 1054 AD, historical accounts in wildly different locations on Earth recorded this same event. A brilliant new star in the sky, bright enough to be visible in broad daylight. It was actually a star that had gone supernova, and even though it's over 6,000 light-years away, the exploding star was indeed visible during the daytime in China, Japan, Europe, North America, and the Arab world. At least vague references to the new star appeared in historical records from this period among all of these cultures. That star is long gone, but its remnants, the Crab Nebula, can still be seen through telescopes. On this day in 1997, NASA returned to Mars for the first time in 20 years as the Mars Pathfinder lander bounced onto the red planet's surface.
The events we'll follow will occur in rapid succession under the control of the onboard software. I'll report these events as they are expected to occur. Slowing down rapidly because of parachute deployment. The heat shield should separate in about 3, 2, 1, 0 seconds. Lander separation. That should occur in about 5 seconds. When that occurs, the lander will descend in about 10 seconds down the bridle. Lander separation should have occurred right about now. The spacecraft should be approximately a mile above the surface of Mars. There's a lot of uncertainty in the timing from here on out because of the variation in the atmosphere. The signal is barely visible. It's a very good sign, everybody.
But what you're seeing now is, as close as we can show you, visual evidence that Pathfinder has landed, and landed in one piece with at least enough of its technology intact to phone home and tell everyone that it is okay.
Yes.
Folded up into a pyramid covered with layers of airbags, Pathfinder came to rest on the Martian soil, opening up its petal-like panels. But it would be another day before Pathfinder literally rolled out a robotic explorer that captured the public's imagination. Sojourner, the first Mars rover. In 2005, the Deep Impact space probe fired an impactor at Comet Tempel 1, slamming into the nucleus of the comet and displacing debris that was then studied by the probe. In 2006, Space Shuttle Discovery lifted off on the first shuttle flight in nearly a year, still testing new procedures and systems for checking a shuttle for damage in orbit. This was the second flight since the 2003 Columbia disaster, and the shuttle was still on probation.
T-minus 17 seconds and counting. 15, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, go for main engine start, main engine start, 2, 1, booster ignition, and liftoff of the Space Shuttle Discovery, returning to the space station, paving the way for future missions beyond.
Discovery roll program.
Houston now controlling the flight of Discovery. The space shuttle begins the journey back into orbit. Discovery completes its roll. Shuttle now heads down, wings level at 8.5 minute line to orbit. This view from a camera on the external tank's liquid oxygen feed line showing the bird's eye view of Discovery as it races towards space. Star-spangled start to Discovery's mission.
But in 2015, it was a heart-stopping last-minute scare nearly 4 billion miles from Earth. NASA's New Horizons space probe developed a glitch just 10 days before reaching Pluto, and with communications to and from New Horizons requiring a 9-hour round trip, there wasn't a lot of time to diagnose the problem. Fortunately, the problem was located, and the first spacecraft to visit Pluto was rebooted in time for its date with history.
The spacecraft did have an off-nominal situation on the weekend, and I'll tell you, the team on New Horizons really did pitch in. It wasn't just that people worked Saturday. People worked Saturday, they stayed, they worked overnight Saturday, they worked all day Sunday, and not only produced a very rapid and flawless, by the way, recovery from safe hold, but put us back on the main computer, as we should, on the A side, and have now uploaded the command load for flyby so that the spacecraft is ready now to execute the 9 days of flyby operations.
The computer was trying to do two things at the same time, and the two were more than the process could handle at one time. So the processor says, I'm overloaded. But then the spacecraft did exactly what it was supposed to do. It then switched the autonomy system, then switched to the backup computer, and since it did that and we were not in what we call the encounter mode, it went safe. When I got the call, I of course had some worries, but I also felt very confident we would recover the spacecraft and get on with it with a great confidence.
It was impressive watching this team working round the clock with no notice over the 4th of July to put a very complex plan together to extract us from safe hold, and the end result of that is we're going to have a nominal flyby from every indication.
And in 2016, another astounding space feat for NASA as the Juno space probe survived a risky, hair-raising maneuver to put it in orbit around Jupiter.
Systems, this is NAV.
Go ahead, NAV.
Yeah, we see the expected sharp shift upward and the Doppler residual indicating the main engine has started.
Copy that. That's good news. We are still awaiting confirmation of that in the tone.
All right, the main engine burn has started, and that will continue for another 35 minutes. And that's the time they need to put this spacecraft into a 53-day orbit. That is the orbit that they are looking for.
At the time it made its closest approach to Jupiter, Juno was the fastest human-made vehicle ever flown, at a speed of over 129,000 miles per hour, getting as close as 2,788 miles from Jupiter's cloud tops.
On June Accord, we have the tone for burn cutoff on Delta B.
Burn time was 2102 seconds, only differing 1 second off of the pre-burn predictions.
Copy that.
Welcome to Jupiter.
We're in it. We're in it. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Everybody, man, you're the best team ever.
Rube Goldberg, whose cartoons depicted impossibly complicated machines designed to perform amazingly mundane tasks, was born today in 1883. Video game designer and space traveler Richard Garriott was born today in 1961. He created the series of Ultima games that helped to define computer role-playing games, and later visited the International Space Station aboard a Russian Soyuz capsule. He's also the son of Skylab astronaut Owen Garriott. On this day in 1910, astronomer Giovanni Schiaparelli died. He tried to map Mars through a telescope, but a mistranslation of his work led to the long-standing legend of Martian canals. In 1934, the first woman to win the Nobel Prize died. Marie Curie's pioneering work led to the discovery and understanding of radioactivity, radioactive isotopes, and the discovery of radioactive elements. Her research exposed her to radiation that also led to her death. Actress Noelle Neal, who played Lois Lane to George Reeves' Superman in the first ever long-running TV adaptation of The Man of Steel, died on this day in 2016. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Accessing Escape Pod Historical Archive. Record located. 4th Landing on Space Shuttle Columbia, July 4th, 1982. Commencing playback.
And here is the one that was the prototype of the spacecraft. This is the Enterprise, the one that was used for those simulated missions, carried aloft on top of a 747 and then dropped in order to test the landing capabilities of the spacecraft. So we're kind of hip deep in orbiters out there today. The crowd, you see, is waiting for President Reagan, who is expected to come out very shortly now. This was the first time that Mr. Reagan has seen a space shuttle return. And this is Mattingly and Hartsfield coming down now. To the applause of all those gathered down below. An exchange of salutes between the Commander-in-Chief and the astronauts. The President shaking hands with Mattingly and with Hartsfield. And Mrs. Reagan giving each one of them a kiss. This is a great day for NASA, of course, to have such a flawless landing on the 4th of July with a huge crowd there and to have the President himself on hand to witness it. They gave him a space shuttle cap, which he did not keep on for very long. And then they sort of took him on a tour to walk around and show him the various parts of the spacecraft, which completed a mission of some 2.8 million miles on this particular flight, but has now weathered some 8 million miles all told in space. This was the fourth and final test flight for Columbia. But Columbia, of course, will be the spacecraft that will carry astronauts on the first operational flight in November. The President and Mrs. Reagan moved up for a good close-up look at the spacecraft, Mattingly and Hartsfield pointing out various features of it to them. But we're waiting now for the President, and here he is, ascending the rostrum there, stepping up on the platform in front of the Enterprise, which, as we've said, was the prototype for the orbiters. The band playing Hail to the Chief, and the President standing there surrounded by Mattingly and Hartsfield, the two heroes who have just completed the fourth flight of Columbia, the space shuttle. Crowd waving American flags. You understand there are some 30,000 folks out there in the hot sun.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. TK and Hank, you can see we've gotten well acquainted already. You've just given the American people a 4th of July present to remember. I think all of us who've just witnessed the magnificent sight of the Columbia touching down in the California desert, feel a real swelling of pride in our chests. The space program in general and the shuttle program in particular have gone a long way to help our country recapture its spirit of vitality and confidence. The pioneer spirit still flourishes in America. In the future, as in the past, our freedom, independence, and national well-being will be tied to new achievements, new discoveries, and pushing back new frontiers. The fourth landing of the Columbia is the historical equivalent to the driving of the Golden Spike, which completed the first transcontinental railroad. It marks our entrance into a new era. The test flights are over. The groundwork has been laid. And now we will move forward to capitalize on the tremendous potential offered by the ultimate frontier of space. Beginning with the next flight, the Columbia and her sister ships will be fully operational, ready to provide economical and routine access to space for scientific exploration, commercial ventures, and for tasks related to the national security. Simultaneously, we must look aggressively to the future by demonstrating the potential of the shuttle and establishing a more permanent presence in space.
Music by Casatolki.